Well, it is a bit bittersweet with Trevor Chappell embarking on his final week of overnights. Hello, Trev.
Hey.
Hello. Look, my first question, and look, nightlife is, I mean, you've got plenty of chance to talk to Trevor, but if those of you who tend to fall asleep before he comes on have any questions for Trevor, maybe you've got some favourite memories, 1-300-800-222. You know what I've always thought, Trevor, is how on earth are you so damn cheerful all the time?
I ask Kath when I get home. And ask her if she reckons I'm that cheerful.
Are you absolutely grumpy around the office, and the second you put the mic on, you just bring the cheerful energy?
I remember when I first started studying broadcasting, Earl Reeve, who was the head of the department at WAPA, broadcasting department, he said you should always be your best self when you're on the radio. So you should always be yourself, but always be your best self. And I think that's where it probably comes from. We all get grumpy and we all have different moods. I mean, sometimes we're sad, sometimes we're a bit cranky, but that's not the business of people who are listening.
Quite right. Well, you do a fine job. If that's your best self, Trevor, we've been very happy, very lucky to have experienced it. So where did this all start for you? How did you end up in broadcasting?
I was a youth worker, and before that I did a little bit of working on mines. I did lots of different things, probably never had a job for more than a year and a half from when I left school. Studied teaching, always really wanted to be a teacher, but wasn't particularly good at study. So I just worked and worked and worked, whatever work I could pick up. I was living in Melbourne, youth working. I was studying acting and wasn't very good at that because I can't remember lines. Really bad at remembering lines, so that was the end of that. And the person I was sharing a house with was in Katz, was one of the people that was in Katz when it was on in Melbourne. And I found a brochure on a coffee table about broadcasting course at WAPA. So I thought, well, I'll give that a go. And I auditioned and got in, and it sort of started from there.
And so how did you go from the course into the ABC?
So I didn't study and didn't do particularly well in broadcasting school either, and got work experience at 6PR in Perth and started producing at 6PR in Perth, and then came back to Melbourne and got some work experience at the ABC here, and then worked my way through. I was a part-time producer and then produced in other programs. And then I was a sort of a station reporter sort of thing for the afternoon program with Derek Gill, and then was offered this job after filling in for Seamus Hoare for a couple of nights.
Oh, wow. What did you, the first time you hosted the shift, what memories do you have of that?
Being terrified. Terrified. Absolutely terrified. I'd written down every single introduction for everything that I did, and all of it fell in a hole as soon as I turned the microphone on. But it was okay. It was listeners that rescued me because they rang in. And so I'm forever in debt to listeners for calling in because it made it so much easier.
I did exactly the same thing the first time I ever went on air, wrote down every single word, but no one rang in.
I've mentioned this before, but thank goodness for Pamela, who was the first person that called, and she was so generous and so kind, it made things a heck of a lot easier from then on.
Yeah. And so 26 years, is that right?
Yep.
I was just thinking Tony Delroy also did 26 years. Must be a magic
number. Was it really?
Yeah, it was.
I can still remember listening to Tony so much. Although I started on weekends when I first started doing this job, I started on weekends, so I only really heard Tony one day, but then listened to him so much coming up in the car.
So tell us about some of your favourite experiences over the years that you were doing overnights.
Favourite experiences? Some of them bittersweet in broadcasting bushfires and doing rolling coverage of the fires in Victoria. And just the connection that you have with listeners at that time, because it can be incredibly vulnerable overnight, and being able to pass on information and also provide company, I think was one of the things that I remember the most, and how raw it can be at that time of the day. So that, and probably the sadness when we lose listeners, when listeners pass away, and the sadness of those particular points in time. Mind you, there's been a lot of joyous moments on the radio as well. I think, and you know this, the interaction with listeners and being able to laugh along with people, I think is probably one of the greatest things that we do. And I really enjoy that.
Now, Trevor, I know you went to do afternoons for a couple of years in Melbourne and then you came back to overnights. And I guess a lot of people will think, goodness me, 26 years doing these shifts. I mean, they are draining. And I mean, I know you don't want to complain about it, but maybe you could just give us an insight of some of the challenges of doing a shift like this.
See, I don't find it a challenge. I don't mind being awake at this time of the morning, getting up at 20 to 11 every night and having a shower, getting dressed, coming in. Those things can be a challenge. Once you're sitting here and doing the job, there's no, well, you can't say it's not a challenge because it's still work and it's still a challenge in doing the job, but it's enjoyable. And over this period of time, I've gotten more enjoyment over doing the job for a long period of time. Going away for a year and a half, as I did, to do afternoons, I missed being here, and I'm glad that I've come back to here because it's where I felt most at home.
What did you miss? I mean, what were the differences between an afternoons audience and your overnights audience?
You have the opportunity to talk to people for longer. And you don't feel rushed when you're working on overnights or daytime radio. There's an expectation that things are pacier and that you move through. And I found that difficult because I like to be able to spend more time, and you have that on overnights. And I think that overnight, and even, well, it's not only overnight, it's with your shift as well, that people are closer to each other, both as listeners and also to presenters, because we have more time to be able to talk and more time to be able to establish relationships with people.
I think it's so true. You can establish relationships with genuine ones with listeners that you just don't get a chance to when you do the day shows, do you?
And people don't tune in and out. I find that when people listen to the program, they really listen and they're with you the whole time that we're talking. And that's a lot different to doing daytime radio.
Now, Trevor, I know all the listeners are your favourites, but are there any, I mean, you mentioned Pamela. I mean, are there any that you would like to kind of, you know, remember for the impact they have or memories of conversations that you had with them?
I always love Eric. I know that some people find that his bringing up things that we could learn more from and also the mistakes that we might make. But I really enjoy that about him. I really enjoy his honesty and being able to do that. There is Helen, who joins us intermittently when she's awake.
Is that Helen from Neil?
No.
Oh, that's someone else.
Helen, I'm not sure where Helen's from, but I always like it when I talk to her. It's always good talking to Donald. It's good talking to Simon from years ago, Jara from years ago, who I haven't heard from for such a long time. They're picking out names, but as you say, there are so many other people that I've talked to over this period of time that I've always enjoyed listening to and talking to.
And Trevor, something I've really noticed is that I see that you come on and there's a different group of people who are texting than the people who've been texting me. And you know, even when, say, Rod or Pav was on, you've all got your own kind of people, right?
Yeah, I think so. And you can sort of pick that up because there's an overnight Facebook site as well, and you can pick that up through there, that people always have their favourites. They always have presenters that they are more in tune with, I guess, and that's something that I've noticed as well. And because I noticed it listening to your program and also to Phil's program, it's a different group of people. I'm not sure that they text because they're more interested in what's happening on air at that point in time as well.
Is it Helen from Healesville?
Yes, Helen from Healesville. Thank you.
Helen calls us sometimes too.
Yeah.
Everyone's immediately saying, oh, it's Helen from Healesville.
See, and do you know what? And I don't know if you noticed this, but listeners have a far greater memory of what happens on this program than I do, because quite often I'll forget something and someone will send me a text and remind me exactly when it was that we did that particular conversation.
There are people, I'm sure, who actually keep records of what happens in the challenge.
It feels like that.
I mean, one night I remember I was filling in for Phil and it was very light. I was, oh, is this the longest challenge ever? And someone, no, in 1993 on the 26th of January, it finished at 1:33 a.m. You know, people literally, I don't know if you are listening tonight, whoever you people are who keep the records.
Yeah. But, and please keep doing it because it's really handy.
Exactly. Maria says, wishing you the best for retirement and the next chapter in life. What are you going to be doing?
Look, I don't know. I haven't particularly got a plan of what I want to do. I know that I will probably have the opportunity to travel more and look around Australia more than anything else, and looking forward to that. I will probably join a service group of some sort. Dad was a president of a Rotary Club years ago. So I'm not sure if it would be that, but I wouldn't mind joining one of those service clubs as well.
Before you became a broadcaster, did you also listen to a lot of radio?
Not really. And it's interesting because when you speak to people who are involved in broadcasting and involved in radio, I'm not envious, but there's the idea that I feel sometimes like I've cheated my way in that there are people that have always been lovers of radio and listen to radio. I remember listening to a lot of music as a kid. I used to listen to ABC for sport as well, but not so much just listening to general radio. But now that I've been part of it, I think that I'll probably become one of those people that listens all the time and will probably, I just mentioned to you a little while ago, that I'll probably become one of those people that's a pest on talkback radio that I'll be ringing up everybody.
I think they'd like to hear from you.
I have to work out what name I will use.
All right, so you're not going to ring up as yourself. You're keeping
anonymous. No. The broadcasters are left. I guess it's like politicians. It's best not heard from after a period of time as well.
Now, Jackie says, I'm so sad to hear Trevor's retiring. Back in 2006, I lost my husband to cancer. I was a mum with two children aged 8 and 12. I didn't have family here as we were from the UK. I hated the night times when my children were in bed. I can honestly say that listening to Trevor helped me get through so many sad nights. Enjoy your retirement, Trevor.
Thank you for that. I think one of the things when you're broadcasting at this time of the morning is a recognition that people are awake and can't sleep because of difficult circumstances in their life. And I think that's one of the reasons that we've always tried to keep the program up, that we haven't done topics at this time of the morning that can be triggering for people, that can make them feel that little bit worse. So we've always tried to recognize that as far as what we do in broadcasting. And that's the producers of the program, and that we've all made that conscious decision.
I know. And sometimes the day people don't get it, Trevor.
No, they don't.
I remember hearing someone going once, he did an hour on pants. With this kind of sneer. Like, yeah, why wouldn't we do an hour on pants?
What's the problem on that?
Exactly. So the world's so full of all the other stuff that, yeah, I agree. I love to think of this as a really safe, fun space for us all.
It's also a break because there are plenty of opportunities to deal with those issues during the day where people have supports around them than if they hear something that does or make them feel that little bit worse, that they have somebody to be able to contact at midnight, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning. People may not have those people around them. So it's a safe space.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned the producers of the program. We know you worked with Pav for many years. Is there anyone else that you would really like to acknowledge as being part of your time as a broadcaster?
I think Jenny was the first person that produced me in studio production. And one of the moments I remember so well is that when I started, I remember Jenny having to wake me up when I was doing the weather, when the weather was being done at 5:30 in the morning. Because I'd actually sort of nodded off in the middle of the weather. And I'd hear Emma in my headphones going, Trevor! Trevor! Ainsley Hodgkinson, who worked here for a while. Chris, who worked here. We've had a few producers go through over the years. And many of those people are now senior producers with other programs. And Pav trained a lot of those people from the other side of the glass as well. And, I mean, Pav has been a great support for me for a very long time and a great broadcaster of his own right as well.
What do you think that people listening would be surprised to learn about broadcasting and the job we do and, you know, some of the secrets that maybe you'd like to share?
The secrets?
I don't know. Do you have any?
I'm not giving away any secrets. One of the things that they were always told to us by, this was Earl Reeve again, who was a terrific mentor for a lot of broadcasters that studied broadcasting at the Academy of Performing Arts in WA, is to never underestimate the relationship that you have with listeners, because even these are the listeners who don't call, that don't text, is to recognise that you also have a relationship with those people and to always respect that relationship, because although we may not talk to those people, it doesn't mean that they aren't a significant part of what we do. And I think that that is really important, to recognise all of the people that listen to the program, not just the people who call in and not just the people who text.
And every so often, I mean, we had one tonight, Trevor, and Alex texted. He said, "I've literally never texted a radio station before. Mm. But I'm just going to tell you about my 7 cats, and I've picked them out of the bed."
That's, I heard that on the way up.
And it's like, we've got all of these people, and hello to any of you who are in this category, who are part of, you know, the, what do we call it, the overnighters? No, the, what's the phrase? Someone came up with it. Was it June from Portland? The overnight lifers?
Overnight lifers. Good.
The overnight lifers, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're all part of this family, but we don't even know everyone who's in the family, but they're still so much a part of it.
And they're still a significant and important part of it as well. Just in regard to that text that you just read out a minute ago, is that it's also recognising that people are going through tough times at this time of the morning. And it's not only the idea of creating radio that's positive and that you can be part of, even if you don't call in, because you have the memories, you have the things that you can do. But I have been overwhelmed by some of the letters that I've been receiving, and cards, and also texts that have been through, just to say how much company that we provide to people through the early hours of the morning. And that companionship, you know, you're talking about the difference between what happens during the day and at night. And there is a degree of that companionship all the way through, but more so, I think, in overnight radio.
Yeah. Just reminding me too, because I was here when Tony Delroy retired, I couldn't believe the amount of correspondence that we had in the weeks leading up to his retirement. But people were saying things like, you know, my dad left us, and listening to you at night, it felt like you were my surrogate father. Yeah. People literally said, you know, you brought me up to Tony. I remember one guy hatching a very elaborate plan to try to get Tony a slab of venison, which I'm not sure if it ever did manage to get sent, but he was determined to get Tony some venison as a farewell gift. Now, a few comments. Let's see. You won't miss the highway and the kangaroos, says Dave.
No. And it's the driving in and driving home. And especially driving home, because I live a fair way out of Melbourne, about an hour and a half, hour and a quarter away. I won't miss pulling over on the side of the road and having a sleep. Although, you wanted to find out about something different. Where I pull over to have a sleep, it's just before a service station, and it's sort of like there's a road in, and it's sort of like a tree sort of an area. And whenever I pull in to have a sleep, there is a car there. And it's a dark blue Statesman or something like that. So there's somebody else that has a sleep there. And when I wake up, they're always gone. And I'll never know who that person is or why they sleep there and why it is it there during the week.
Maybe they're listening.
If you are, if that's send me a text
you,
and
yes.
tell me who you are.
How long do you nap for during that sleep?
However long it takes me to wake up. So it's usually about half an hour, three quarters of an hour, which is just enough to get me back home.
Yeah. I mean, I remember I filled in for Rod quite a bit many, many years ago, and I used to give the producer at the time, Carrie, a ride home. And one morning there was somebody else producing, but yeah. I drove to Carrie's house when I left work, and I got there and I thought, oh, no, Carrie's not in the car.
Doesn't surprise me, though.
No, that's the kind of thing we do. Trevor, should we do the preview now of what's coming up, or do you want to do it in its proper spot, or, you know?
Do you know, I was saying to Mick just before I came on, because I was talking about leaving and that sort of, I'm one of those people that always does an Irish farewell at parties. You know, when I'm not very good at saying goodbye.
So
at
when
all.
You sneak out, is that what an Irish farewell is?
Apparently, and I want to know why that is. But this is one of the things about saying goodbye to people over this period of time and then having to give speeches and there'll be an afternoon tea and there's or the last program. Normally I would just sneak away, but I can't do it in this regard. So this is probably the toughest thing out of all of it is actually doing the goodbye stuff.
Yeah. Now, who's this from? Dear Suzanne and Trevor, I've never rung in or texted in until this moment, but I feel like both of you are some of my best friends. Isn't that nice? All the best.
Isn't it great? It's a lovely feeling. And I've been asked as well how it is you describe the relationship that we have with listeners, and some people use the term family, other people use friends. It's a really difficult one to explain what the relationship is like. And for me, it's a like a friendship and also colleagues, because I find that the listeners are as much colleagues as they are anything else, because they're the people that actually create the program and make the program what it is. So it's almost a friendship and a collegian relationship, I find.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we've had times where we've wanted to kind of, do you remember when we all ran when we did our fridge magnet heist story last year?
Yeah.
You know, we rang one of our listeners to say, look, could you be our stooge caller to start this all off? It was Ropey and Badgerbub who did that for us.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of callers that we could go, actually, I'm just going to ring them and see if they can help out with this.
And we get it all the time via text with help and that sort of thing as well. So I think that the listeners who participate and the listeners who are at home are as much part of the creation of this program. That's why I feel really comfortable about leaving and this program being as strong and as significant without me here as it will be with me being here, because the listeners are the people that create a lot of the content and they will be supportive of the next person that does the job as well.
That's right. And you see on the Overnights Facebook group, there is always such a lot of support and I guess patience extended to people who are coming into the job. Now, do you remember this? Tony from Melville says, I was at the Rome airport in 2025. Ahead of me was a guy that looked like Trevor. I dismissed it as my imagination. Eventually, I couldn't help my curiosity. I showed him a picture of Trevor on the ABC website and asked if it was him, and it was.
I had a lovely conversation in that regard, and I think he was with his sister, and I think brother-in-law as well. It was something like that, and it was a terrific conversation, and it just goes to show that no matter where you are, there'll be some sort of a link.
Exactly. So, okay, so you're going to talk about Irish farewells?
Oh, Irish farewell. I want to know why the Min Min Lights are called the Min Min Lights.
Did you just steal that straight off my program?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, and so see? We're your colleague as well. I mean, we're your co-contributors.
So, and then in Hunky Dory, I want to find out about that. And if you steal someone's thunder, why is it called that? We'll also have a special gardening spot today because we can't do our gardening segment that we normally do on a Tuesday morning because we'll be broadcasting from the Melbourne Museum. So we're going to do that as well today.
Now, I know the exact answer to your thunder question, but I don't suppose you want me to tell you, do you?
No, you can tell.
Okay.
Seeing as how I'm nicking your other stuff you want as well.
Well, I was right about the one about the Burl a few weeks ago.
You were?
Yes. Okay, so what happened? There was a theatre in London, I don't have the dates exact, but like it was the 1600s or whenever it was, someone was putting on a production of, was it Macbeth or The Tempest? Anyway, this bloke made a thunder machine to make the sound of the thunder during whatever the play was. And then literally someone stole his thunder machine, another acting company or something. So that was the stealing of the thunder.
Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, someone will have a more precise explanation, you know, the details, because that was vague. I've got one.
Yeah.
Clammy. Like, if you feel clammy, does it have anything to do with clams?
I would presume it does. So if you're feeling clammy, because clammy is sort of
sticky
sweaty. Or sweaty.
Yeah.
But what's that got to do with a clam?
Exactly. That's my question.
Okay. We'll consider it down there. And seeing as how I stole some of yours, I'm glad you've contributed some of mine. And thank you for the thunder thing.
You're very welcome. Annie says, Ditto, I've never called either, but Trevor, you have made me laugh out loud in the wee quiet hours of the morning.
I wonder if that's because of the mistakes that I've made.
Well, you are quite notorious for that, for giving the answer away.
What was the question that you asked about Adelaide and the Paul Kelly lyric?
Oh, I asked which city Colonel William Light designed.
That's right.
Yeah,
but there's and that, what was the Paul Kelly lyric?
Do you know the Paul Kelly song Adelaide?
Yeah, I love that song.
Yeah, and he says something like, "I spilled my wine at the bottom of a statue of Colonel Light."
Do you know what I always thought
what,
that lyric
what
was?
What did you think?
The statue of Caroline. And I think that the statue of Caroline sounds better, personally.
Would it create some intrigue about who Caroline was?
Well, that's right. I was trying to work out who it was, but now I know who it is.
It's just a surveyor guy.
Yeah, well, that's all.
Okay. Trevor, thank you.
Thank you.
All right. It has really been a privilege working, you know, with you, listening to you. I've always enjoyed what company I have kept with you, Trevor. Best of luck.
And ditto. Thank you.
All right. There. It's Trevor Chappell, but look, I can say goodbye to him now. You've still got 4 mornings left with Trevor, and if you can tell him what it means to be clammy, that would be much appreciated from my point of view too.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.